Coming up, it's all politics from NPR News.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals and institutions reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.
Welcome to It's All Politics from NPR News. I'm Ron Elving.
And I'm Ken Reardon.
And it is a new week. Ken, we've got lots of news stories.
I have a trivia question for you.
Lots of things are going on. And let's start with a rather large trivia question. Which front-running candidate for the Democratic nomination for president unveiled the second of her big, big plans for completely redoing healthcare in America in just the last two decades?
Wait, you said her? Hillary Clinton.
That would be, oh, I gave it away.
Yeah.
Well, at any rate, what do you think? Pretty much the plan America's waiting for?
It's a plan that Hillary Clinton supporters are waiting for, because this is the thing that's been hanging over her since 1993, 94. It doesn't matter what she said, I don't think. I think what it matters is that she had this embarrassment, this fiasco of 93, 94, and she was seen as very arrogant.
But this is how she's been describing it.
I tried to achieve universal health care back in 93 and 94, and I still have the scars from that experience.
What went wrong back in 93, 94? Ken, in your considered professional opinion?
Hillary Clinton felt that she knew what was right for Americans. And
she also thought Ira Magaziner knew what was right for Americans.
Well, I ended my subscription a while ago.
But you do remember Ira. he was said to be the smartest man in Washington. And he conducted the, shall we say, secret deliberations by which this plan was produced and then introduced to Hillary, who then introduced it
to
Bill.
Who is the smartest woman in Washington.
And then Bill kind of introduced it to the country, and the thing fell apart from there.
Insurance companies didn't like it. Democrats in Congress weren't too crazy about it either.
Although they might have sat still for it if they could have gotten some Republican support. And for a moment there, it looked like that might coalesce. But a determined rear guard, if you will, of strong conservatives stood up and said, and both in Congress and outside of Congress, stood up and said, we really don't need this. There's no crisis. The health system doesn't have any really big problems. We're the greatest country in the world. Let's get this out of here.
I think it's fair to say, though, that the whatever demand, need for universal health care or health care overhaul in 1993, 94 is far less than it is now. I think people accept the fact, I think both parties accept the fact that there is a health care, somewhat of a crisis in this country. Both parties look at it differently, of course.
Of course, what is the crisis, though? A lot of Democrats will tell you it's the number of people who are uninsured, the number of people who are going without health care, whereas others might say, no, it's not that. It's the encroachment of the government on the liberties and the freedoms of individual Americans.
Which is the Republican argument back then and as it is today.
And it will be whatever Hillary proposes. I mean, whatever she proposes, unless it came straight from a novel by Ayn Rand, is going to be called a government-run program.
But, you know, it was interesting. Not only did the Republicans jump on her, Mitt Romney, Rudy Giuliani immediately, but so did Democrats. And I think Democrats are aware of the fact that this is one of the things hanging over her from all this time, one of her vulnerabilities.
They've got to go for it because they aren't finding a lot of other vulnerabilities in recent
weeks. Not on the war. We thought the war might be a vulnerability.
Thought it was going to kill her.
Right?
Hasn't yet.
Nope.
So we heard immediately some of the other candidates saying, that sounds a lot like my plan. You also heard a lot of people saying it sounds a lot like Arnold Schwarzenegger with maybe a little bit of Mitt Romney's Massachusetts plan thrown in. But it clearly had a different theme from the managed care plan from the early 90s.
Right. But also what Barack Obama said, I think Barack Obama criticized the plan as much as he criticized Hillary Clinton. And the fact is that she is too polarizing. I don't know if he used these words, but she's too polarizing to make any kind of a combination to get something across party lines.
Yes, I think some of the other Democratic contenders also said the same thing. If you want somebody to sell something as difficult as this, and it will be difficult, of course, no matter what plan it is, you don't want the most polarizing figure in the Democratic Party to be the standard bearer. But why are the Republicans all going after Hillary all the time? Shouldn't they be going after each other? Shouldn't they be talking about some of the issues that might divide them from each other as Republican rivals? Let's listen to a little bit of what Mitt Romney had to say last week.
Well, if you've seen the reports this morning on the latest version of Hillary Care, you'll see that version 2.0 is not likely to have any more success than 1.0. Hillary Care continues to be bad medicine.
And when they weren't attacking her on health care, they were going after her on the war. Let's listen to this video that was made for the Giuliani campaign.
Hillary Clinton has changed her position, even joining with the radical group MoveOn.org in attacking American General Petraeus.
They attacked General Petraeus.
Well, she didn't. Well, what she did do, what she didn't do, is she didn't disassociate herself from the MoveOn.org attack on General Petraeus,
which called him General Betrayus.
Which,
of course,
you know, when you say talk about betrayal, you think of treason and you think of McCarthyism and
strong language.
If and then Ron and I have had this conversation
pretty
before.
Rough language.
If the Republicans should be castigated for their attacks on Max Cleland in 2002 elections, and they were widely
morphing his face into Osama bin Laden.
That's right. And well, is that any worse than calling somebody a betrayer or a traitor? I mean, basically what they're saying about General Petraeus. So I thought that's pretty harsh, too. So anyway, the right wing loved the fact that the Democrats were afraid or refused to go after Move On because they didn't want to alienate the 3.3 million supporters of Move On. And so the attack on Hillary was, in effect, her association with Move On. And somehow that became her attack on General Petraeus.
Of course, that's the usual progression. And we saw right from the very first morning of General Petraeus's testimony a couple of weeks ago that rather than talking about the situation in Iraq, the Republicans all wanted to hold up a copy of the ad from MoveOn.org and talk about MoveOn.org. That's better than talking about the situation itself,
well, you
from
know,
a political standpoint.
The Republican Party is obviously having a hard time not only uniting behind a front runner, but uniting altogether on immigration, on the war, on certainly about President Bush. So what they can do, what they hope to do, is that Hillary Clinton could be that unifying force. And so by going after Hillary Clinton on Hillary Care or her failure to attack MoveOn.org, it sets up people like Giuliani and Romney as the person who could unite the Republican Party, save it from Hillary Clinton.
But what about the new Republican candidate for president this week, Ken?
Oh, God.
We haven't talked about him yet.
No.
I think Alan Keyes is the new kid on the block, who's running for president as a Republican, as he did in 1996.
Didn't win
Did not win the nomination, as he did, of course, again in 2000, but also did not win the
well,
nomination.
Well, he did win, but Florida screwed it up. He would have been president.
Yes. Alan Keyes is not only a strong advocate of the pro-life position with respect to abortion, but a social conservative across the board who does tend to adopt, shall we say, a rather strong, fervent, evangelical sort of revival tent style when he is speaking, and he will change these Republican events.
Well, does he get accepted? Does he get invited to all these debates? Why should he? I mean, this is somebody who's run for office at least four times, the Maryland senator from Maryland, for the senator from Illinois, ran for president twice, but he's never been elected to anything. You can make the case that, you know, I noticed that National Journal website this week said, why do they keep inviting Dennis Kucinich and Mike Gravel, which I thought was a pretty ridiculous thing, to the debates? Because they've shown they're not going to win the nomination. The point is,
they're very popular with certain kinds
and
of Democrats.
Dennis Kucinich is an elected official. Mike Gravel served two terms in the U.S. Senate. But Alan Keyes.
But that's not the reason they keep getting invited. They keep getting invited because they want to be there and they have a highly vociferous following. Does Alan Keyes have a highly vociferous following?
He said he looked at, basically, he wrote on his website or on his blog that he woke up one morning, looked in the mirror and said, there's, you know, nobody better than I to run for president, therefore I'm running. Is that who we put in the presidential candidate debates?
He's been in them before, and he certainly will bring a siege gun of a voice. So how does it look if the Republican Party says, no, we're not going to let you in, Alan, because, well, among other things, he'd be the only African-American or the only non-white male?
Well, why isn't John Cox, who's running for president too, who has as much support as Alan Keyes does? I mean, he's been running for a while. Why has he not been in any debates?
All right, you make a good point, Ken.
Never. That's not possible. No, the point is, Alan Keyes is a presidential candidate in Alan Keyes' mind.
And virtually no one else's.
That's exactly right.
But let me just throw this out as a thought. And I'm quoting here essentially from Newt Gingrich, who has said, this is becoming a critical mass of identity for the Republican Party. They say no to Alan Keyes. They say no to a congressional vote for the District of Columbia, where a Republican filibuster just this week in the Senate has killed the chance of the people who live, 600,000 people who live in the District of Columbia, to actually have voting representation in Congress. They've also become the party of, we don't want any more immigrants, particularly not from south of the border, so they're alienating Hispanics. Is this the moment in American history when you want to mark yourself out as the all-white party?
And did we also mention the fact that the frontrunners will avoid the Tavis Smiley Presidential Forum
next
Thursday?
Excellent point. There's an African-American leading a forum which is supposed to be specifically about issues of interest to the black community, and the Republican leading lights for president aren't going.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I have a little trouble equating Alan Keyes' participation in debate with Republican views on civil rights and voting rights and things like that.
A subtle nuance, but a good one. Continue.
That's it.
That was it?
Yeah.
Well, okay, a few other things have changed. We've got another retirement, a signal retirement in the House. Jim Ramstad, veteran Republican from Minnesota, moderate to conservative, somebody a lot of people looked up to, certainly an intelligent voice in the Congress. He's hanging it up again like so many of his colleagues.
Right, first elected in 1990. Again, it's, you know, I don't know if it's the beginning of a sea change, but it looks like a lot of Republicans feel that they're not going to get back the control of the House, and why stick around for any more time?
On the other hand, a couple of developments on the Senate race side include a good development for the Republicans.
Right, Mike Johanns, the U.S. Agriculture Secretary.
Former governor of Nebraska.
Former very popular governor of Nebraska.
Going to run in Nebraska.
That's what it looks like. He's going to be the Republican nominee. He hopes to succeed Chuck Hagel. Of course, there are other Republicans in the race, including Hal Daub.
Now, a big favorite back here in Washington.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people remember Hal. They remember him fondly. And they do, of course, in Omaha.
Well,
he
ran for the Senate twice. And
John Bruning, the Attorney General.
Right.
Strong candidate. He's been out there running already for a long time. But he was planning to take on the incumbent Chuck Hagel before he decided to retire.
He was also running. But I think the establishment would love to see Johanns run. And you know, the Democrats' wish dream candidate, of course, is Bob Kerry, the former governor of Senate, who's at a New School University in New York. Johanns, you know, never left Nebraska. He's still there. And,
that's right.
But there's also good news for the Democrats in the state of New Hampshire.
Gene Shaheen.
Former governor who barely lost by 5 points to John Sununu in 2002 in the Senate race, says she's going to run again. Of course, the atmosphere, the political atmosphere in New Hampshire is far different now than it was in 2002. President Bush is less popular yet. And also in 2006, you had two Republican congressmen unseated, Charlie Bass and his brother, Largemouth, and Jed Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had a governor, John Lynch, reelected by the biggest margin in New Hampshire history. And
it just had to have been about the best year for Democrats in New Hampshire in our lifetime.
Well, your lifetime.
Well, two of your lifetimes.
Right. So that's good news for the Democratic Party. By the way, speaking of good news, actually we have fan mail from the listener.
The listener wrote
yes,
in.
That's right.
At last, the listener heard from.
This is Samuel Scheib of Thomasville, Georgia.
I had not known the listener was in Thomasville.
Well, I didn't know there was a Thomasville, but here it is. As one of the many of the listener, I must add my voice to the chorus that is clamoring for more of It's All Politics. Of course, I mean that I think the show should be longer, not that it should be on more frequent. No one could stand that. But this is written to me. It says, you sound like you were having so much fun with old Ron What's-His-Name and August guests. Why not just go a little longer?
August guests?
That was last month.
Well, we had guests in August.
Last month,
that's
right.
I thought they were August guests.
Right.
I understand. Well, that's it for this week's political podcast.
You can follow NPR's political coverage at npr.org/politics.
I'm old Ron What's-His-Name.
And I'm Ken Rudin.
Join us again next week for It's All Politics from NPR.
Thank you, AFSCME! Thank you, AFSCME!
First podcasting, and now mobile, too. You can hear NPR News headlines, today's most important stories, even the wait, don't tell me quiz on your phone. Find out more by clicking on mobile. That's halfway down the left side of the homepage at npr.org.